What is the target of countless arrows of misery? The temper of the mind unable to bear even small ordeals. What is the target of countless arrows of misery? The temper of the mind unable to bear even small ordeals. So this is our self-pity mind, isn't it? The complaining mind, the self-pity mind, that I'm suffering and it's not fair mind, the, you know, why does it happen to me and it doesn't happen to others? Yeah, and this hurts so much and the world's got to stop because I'm in pain and everybody should know that I'm hurting and this is just too painful, too inconvenient, too stressful. Yeah, but it's true. We take what happens to us so seriously, you know? Some small remark somebody makes, you know, it becomes a huge thing in our minds, you know? Some small action somebody does or a look they give and our mind, you know, writes this incredible fantasy and we are suffering so much. Yeah. And then even when we do suffer from, you know, things that happen, we're sick or whatever, again, we put so much focus on me, you know. Nobody in this planet has ever hurt as much as I do. Yeah, there's no way anybody could understand this. And so we box ourselves in, we wall ourselves off, we don't trust, we blame, you know, and we complain. One of the chapters in Taming the Mind is my favorite pastime, complaining. Yeah, I perfected that quite well, you know. I couldn't bowl very well. I couldn't play tennis very well. So what did I do as a hobby? I complained, you know? And just the way the complaining mind, you know, builds up a whole story about how, you know, the universe is unfair, the world's unfair, I don't deserve this. You know, there's no... there's no awareness of karma, yeah? Where did the principal cause from this suffering come from? My past deeds. What created this, the negative karma? My own self-centered mind, my own self-grasping ignorance. Yeah. So who's the real enemy in this situation? Self-centered mind, self-grasping ignorance. But, you know, the complaining mind doesn't think like that. With the complaining mind, it's, you know, everybody else's fault and I'm this innocent victim. And we can't bear anything, you know? The electricity's going, it's so hot, I can't, you know? And I mean, you should see it around here. Come to our morning stand-up meetings. It's so cold, we gotta close the window, it's freezing here. And the person next to them says, it's so hot in the room I work, I wanna open the window. And then somebody else says, the way we wash dishes is crazy. And somebody else says, but we've gotta wash them that way, it's not crazy. And somebody else says, you know, kind of, nobody's vacuuming the floor on time. I'm too busy to vacuum the floor. Why are you always asking me to vacuum the floor? There's all these other people here who can vacuum the floor too. Yeah, you're always picking on me. Yeah, so we can't bear the slightest little thing. Yeah, I'm glad people are laughing. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Yeah, but it, you know, just how we create our own misery and can't bear anything. And then we come in the meditation hall and I'm going to be a bodhisattva and lead each and every sentient being to full awakening alone by myself. No, maybe they should lead me to full alone awakening. I'm just sitting here miserable, you know. Yeah, so we generate this incredible, magnificent motivation on one hand, and then in our daily life, it's like, you know, oh, I got the sniffles, I can't meditate today, you know. Like if you stay in your room, you won't have the sniffles. Yeah, or your stomach hurts, and if you stay in your room, it'll stop hurting, you know. So I can't meditate. Yeah. But when I die, I'm going to, you know, follow the stages of the death absorption into the clear light. Yeah, but today, you know, impossible because I stubbed my toe. Can't concentrate. Got to go to bed early, you know. If I sleep at least 12 hours, maybe 15, my little toe will feel better. And then I'll be able to practice. Not to identify with these things. Yeah, it's just like, okay, this is happening and life goes on. Yeah, this is much to our surprise, these things really are not the end of the world. Yeah, although they seem so at the time. Yeah. So in the practice of fortitude, which is a very important aspect of the bodhisattva's path, we've got to increase our ability to bear physical suffering, to bear uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable emotions, distress, you know. Because if we're going to benefit sentient beings in the long term, you know, if every time something happens that we don't like and we have to, you know, we crumble, how are we going to benefit anybody? Yeah. So just slowly we have to really work on building our tolerance to these kinds of things and learn the antidotes. You know, the taking and giving meditation is very good whenever there's physical pain and even mental pain, emotional pain. Taking and giving is really excellent. And the reflection on karma, very good. Yeah. But we have to remember to do these meditations when that situation comes up. Usually when the situation comes up, our old habit is, you know, sit and pout and cry and suck our thumb or get mad at somebody. Yeah. Or go drink. Yeah. Go drink. Go smoke a dope. Go watch a movie. You know, something to medicate our own pain. And so, you know, instead of like using those strategies, which definitely don't work, to try and apply the Dharma antidotes and misery, starting with just small things that are inconvenient, and then slowly building up our ability until one day we can be great bodhisattvas. Very good. So really seeing that there are certain situations in your life, like your parents' death, that if you don't practice and make some preparation for now, you're going to crumble when they happen. And let alone not be able to benefit him, you won't be able to benefit yourself. Yeah, and so the importance of developing some inner strength that can bear these difficulties. Yeah. Okay.